Yeah. Two for Tuesday, man. Yeah, two for Tuesday. Yeah. This is our good friend Miles, longtime listener and Jen Bosworth's husband, who shockingly requested Kiss on Two for Tuesday. Kiss, man. Yeah, it is Two for Tuesday. 312-981-7200. And Miles, we thank you for, well, I guess we thank you for requesting some Kiss. So we've got one more Kiss song to listen to on Two for Tuesday. All right. Well, the first presidential debate between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump occurred last night. I watched it, and I know that many other people watched it. And so I thought that we would talk about some of the best political sketches in the history of SNL, because watching the debate last night, I am assuming that even at this moment right now, there are a large group of writers who are gathered together in a room in 30 Rock, at 30 Rock in New York, poring over all the material that was just handed to them on a silver platter last night during the debate. So I would imagine the cold open, because Saturday Night Live, by the way, premieres, the new season premieres this Saturday. Your host is Margot Robbie, and the musical guest is the Weeknd. So I'm assuming that right now the writers are furiously trying to put together what I would imagine will be the cold open of the new season. And I would imagine it's going to be a parody of the debate from last night. So I thought we would go back and look at some of the best political moments, some of the best political sketches, and some of the best political characters in the 42-year history of SNL. So we would love to hear from you. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. What do you think are some of the best and most memorable political sketches and moments in the history of Saturday Night Live? 312-981-7200. So give us a call. I'm trying to see if we can, Dan, see if I can name who played the presidents during the run. So obviously it debuted in 75. Ford was president, and that was Chevy Chase. But Chevy Chase really didn't do an imitation. He didn't really do an imitation of Gerald Ford. He just fell down, you know, and knocked stuff over and do that. So that was Gerald Ford. Carter was played by Aykroyd. Reagan was played by, who played him? Let's see, I know Phil Hartman played him. But who played him in 81, 82? I don't remember. But I remember Hartman played him in the later part, like his second term. Boy, who would have played him in the first term? Anybody remember? 312-981-7200. Who played Reagan during his first term? I'm trying to remember now who. Yeah, I can't remember who played him. Reagan. Clinton was played by Phil Hartman. Michael McKean played him.
Saturday Night Live lists seven people who portrayed him.
So who played who?
Ronald Reagan.
Seven people played Reagan?
Seven people played Reagan.
Who do they have them listed?
Chevy Chase.
Okay.
Harry Shearer.
Oh, right. Harry Shearer played him. That's right.
Charles Rocket.
What? Charles Rocket played Reagan?
A February 7th, 1981 episode during the Church sketch.
Wow.
Joe Piscopo.
Okay.
He was the Nutty President sketch.
All right.
Randy Quaid portrayed him in the Ford and Reagan sketch in 1985.
That's right. He played Reagan in the one season he was on the show, right?
And Robin Williams, apparently, during an episode.
Okay. So they didn't have just the one guy who played him. And then, but for Clinton, there were like three or four guys played Clinton, but the most memorably was portrayed by Phil Hartman, who was just hilarious. And we have, by the way, we have some audio from one of the funniest Phil Hartman portrayals of Clinton when he visits a McDonald's. Dan, can you find that one? This is in 1992, and here's the description of it. It's really hilarious. Again, Phil Hartman, and I've said this before, Phil Hartman is my favorite cast member in the history of SNL. I think he is the best cast member ever. It says, in 1992, this piece on the eating habits of Bill Clinton, the New York Times wrote that the president-elect was engaged in a battle of the bulge, largely resulting from his love of fast food, and he visits to his hometown fat factories. In the classic SNL sketch, Phil Hartman's Clinton explains foreign policy through mouthfuls of other people's McDonald's food. At one point, Hartman has so much food in his mouth, he nearly breaks into a fit of laughter. Chris Rock, a cast member for 3 seasons, appears briefly at the start of the sketch. Do we have any of that? Or?
Pounder with cheese, 2 fries, and a Coke.
All right, boys. Let's stop in here for a second. I'm a little parched from the jog.
Sir, we've only been jogging for 3 blocks. Besides, Mrs. Clinton asked us not to let you into any more fast food places.
Well, I just want to mingle with the American people, talk with some real folks, maybe get a Diet Coke or something.
Fine. But please, don't tell Mrs. Clinton.
Jim, let me tell you something. There's going to be a whole bunch of things we don't tell Mrs. Clinton. Fast food is the least of our worries, okay, buddy?
Oh, my God! It's Bill Clinton!
Oh, my God.
Hey. Hey, how you doing? Nice to meet you. How are you? Oh, that's an adorable baby. What's your name, sweetheart?
Her name is Shakira.
Shakira. That means African princess, doesn't it?
Oh, why, yes!
Well, she certainly is beautiful enough to be a princess. Say, you going to finish these fries?
Okay. Anyway, he goes on through the entire restaurant just grabbing food off of people's trays and shoving it into his face. Brilliant stuff. Really funny. Okay, we're talking about the best and most memorable political stuff from SNL and, you know, in honor of tonight's debate and the fact that that's probably going to lead off the season premiere this coming Saturday. All right, we'll take a break. The news is next. Yeah, man. Good morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. All right. Miles, who is our longtime listener and Jen Bosworth's husband, he requested some Kiss for 2 for Tuesday. Yeah! 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you'd like to join us. Here till 5 a.m., Steve Grzanich will join you for the opening bell at 5, and Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. Our phone number is 312-981-7200, and if you would like to join us, we'd love to hear from you. The debate happened last night. The first presidential debate happened last night, and I watched it, and I know with millions of other people we watched it, and I'm not going to talk about who I thought won, the person I thought who won by a landslide. It wasn't even close. Won't talk about it, but this person killed the other person, in my opinion. Anyway, this debate is definitely going to fuel Saturday Night Live's first episode of the season, which is this Saturday. And I was saying earlier that I think a bunch of writers right now are feverishly writing what I imagine will be the cold open inspired by the debate from last night. And that got me thinking about some of the best political sketches and best political moments and impressions in the history of SNL. They always do very well. SNL always does very well during election years. And I don't think this is going to be any different. Now, my question here is, I mean, obviously, Emmy winner Kate McKinnon, God bless her. She will be playing Hillary. Now, so my I guess it's a good thing Daryl Hammond is still around, right, Dan? As the because Daryl Hammond is the announcer.
Right.
And, I mean, no doubt he's going to play Trump, right?
Right. I mean, he played him last year, right?
He did, but they threw it to Taron Killam a couple of times, but he's gone now. So, yeah, and I don't know if they're going to do any sketches involving Obama. I mean, the guy is in office, you know, for another 4 months. And, you know, what are they just going to ignore that? Because Jay Farrow's gone. And Fred Armisen's not there anymore, and Fred Armisen did Obama. So I don't know. But it'll be interesting to see what happens. I don't know who's going to play Lester Holt, but it doesn't matter because he was barely there anyway. Lester Holt barely participated. Just let it run rampant. So anyway, we were getting into some of our favorite moments. And Esmeralda, do you remember some of your favorite political stuff from the past?
Of course, I'm a fan of Tina Fey.
Tina Fey as Sarah Palin.
Yes, but I'm also, when you asked me about it, I was thinking of Dana Carvey doing Ross Perot.
Oh, he did a very funny Ross Perot. You know, they did a debate sketch in '88, and they had to film his Ross Perot because he was doing George Bush.
Got it.
So they had to, like, double him up.
I like that they couldn't find anyone else to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, he did it so well.
He did. I know his Bush was very funny. It didn't sound a lot like Bush because it's a gnat and gandat, all that stuff.
But that's what I think of when I think of Bush now.
That's what you think of? It's funny because, you know, that happens a lot. I mean, like, when someone does, maybe it's not a spot-on imitation of someone, but you think of that. Like, okay, I'll give you two examples that both involve Will Ferrell. Lots of people, when they try to imitate Harry Carey, imitate Will Ferrell's imitation of Harry Carey.
Oh, yeah. I totally do a Will Ferrell Harry Carey.
Yeah, and Will Ferrell's Harry Carey is not very good. It doesn't sound a lot like Harry Carey. It's hysterically funny. But it's not Harry Carey doesn't really sound like that. And also the same thing with Will Ferrell, his George W. Bush is not a great George W. Bush impression. It's not. But the character is awesome. Like, his interpretation of it is awesome. So I think a lot of people like you, Esmeralda, people who are younger than you probably think of George W. Bush as the guy that Will Ferrell did. So,
oh yeah,
you know, because I mean, what the character that he created, the Will Ferrell's version of George W. Bush, was not at all a spot on imitation.
I mean, a little voice, a little bit.
Not, you know, he was a tough guy to. I think George W. Bush was a tough guy to imitate.
He did the laugh.
He was a tough guy to imitate, I think. And then when Ferrell left, you know, Ferrell left before his second term. When did Ferrell leave? Yeah, he left before his second term. Second term was in 2004, and Ferrell left before that. So they had a whole nother term to fill it in, and they tried many, many people. And actually, they did a bit on who could fill. They were, like, doing auditions for who could do George W. Bush, and they brought in everybody. Like, I know Chris Parnell did it for a while. I'm trying to remember who else did it. Chris Parnell did it for a while. And I know that, it ended up going to Forte. Will Forte ended up doing kind of inheriting it after it. He did his own take on it, which I thought was actually funny, too. But now you mentioned Tina Fey as Sarah Palin.
Right. And she wasn't even there anymore, right?
No, she had left. Yeah. She had left. And they brought her back. And she did great stuff during that. See, that election year of 2008 was really strong for SNL. Bringing Tina Fey back, you've got Amy Poehler as Hillary Clinton, and it was a very, very strong thing. Now we have some audio from a nonpartisan message from Sarah Palin and Hillary Clinton, and this is some audio. This is Tina Fey and Amy Poehler during the 2008 season.
Americans. I was so excited when I was told Senator Clinton and I would be addressing you tonight.
And I was told I would be addressing you alone.
Now, I know it must be a little bit strange for all of you to see the two of us together, what with me being John McCain's running mate
and me being a fervent supporter of Senator Barack Obama, as evidenced by this button.
But tonight we are crossing party lines to address the now very ugly role that sexism is playing in the campaign.
an issue which I am frankly surprised to hear people suddenly care about.
You know, Hillary and I don't agree on everything.
Anything. I believe that diplomacy should be the cornerstone of any foreign policy.
And I can see Russia from my house.
I believe global warming is caused by man.
And I believe it's just God hugging us closer.
I don't agree with the Bush doctrine.
And I don't know what that
means. But, Sarah, one thing we can agree on is that sexism can never be allowed to permeate an American election.
So please, stop photoshopping my head on sexy bikini pictures.
Stop saying I have cankles.
Don't refer to me as a MILF.
And don't refer to me as a flurge. I Googled what it stands for and I do not like it.
Reporters and commentators, stop using words that diminish us like pretty, attractive, beautiful.
Harpy, shrew, boner shrinker.
May differ, my friend and I are both very tough ladies. You know, it reminds me of a joke we tell in Alaska.
Oh boy.
What's the difference
lipstick
between a hockey mom
lipstick
and a pit bull?
Lipstick.
Lipstick.
There you go.
Just look at how far we've come. Hillary Clinton, who came so close to the White House, and me, Sarah Palin, who is even closer. Can you believe it, Hillary?
If only you could see Amy Poehler. That was great stuff. They really took off in 2008. It was really, really strong political stuff that year for SNL, and that's going to kick off this Saturday. And they got a lot of material from last night. They got a lot of material. So. Anyway, we're talking about the best political sketches, the best political moments in SNL history. 312-981-7200 is the phone number and the text number, 312-981-7200. Got a break here for weather and traffic. Oh, yeah. The hell's going on, man? Did it turn into Wild Card Wednesday now? Two for Tuesday, Nick DiGilio here. Patrick requested Al Di Meola's Race with the Devil on a Spanish Highway. Yeah! Hi, everybody. Nick DiGilio here, and we're talking about the best political moments, the best political sketches in SNL history. SNL debuts this Saturday, and last night during the debates, clearly the writers at SNL have been given some stuff on a silver platter after last night's debates. So we'll see what they do with it. And so we're discussing some of our favorite political impressions and favorite political moments in the history of SNL. And I was just thinking, you know, you were mentioning some of the other, like the candidates who obviously didn't become president had to be imitated as well. One of my favorites, do you guys remember Amy Poehler as Dennis Kucinich? Do you remember?
I don't.
Oh my God. Dan, do you remember?
No, I can't.
Oh, no, you don't remember. See if you can find, Dan, just the image alone will kill you. If you just Google Amy Poehler, Dennis Kucinich, she was hilarious in the primaries and in that election with the debates and everything. She was hysterical, and Amy Poehler as Dennis Kucinich is one of my favorite imitations during the political times. Do you guys see a picture of her as Kucinich?
Yeah, she looks like a little boy.
That's exactly what it is. Exactly. She was, that killed me. Every time they would do a sketch during the primaries involving Kucinich, I was on the floor. So funny. All right, let's go to the phones real quick. Here's Brian on WGN. Hey, Brian.
Hey, Nick, what's going on?
Hey, not much. What's up?
Well, if I remember right, John Lovitz played defeated candidate Michael Dukakis.
Oh, yes, he did. He did. Lovitz was great as Dukakis. He was hilarious.
It was called Dukakis at Night, because he said, well, since I lost the election and I paid for all this airtime, I might as well just have it. And he did like a, it was almost like Hugh Hefner's like After Dark show.
Right.
Like he had the smoker jacket on, he had the tumbler scotch. And he was talking to Jimmy. He said, hey, Jimmy, how was it after you lost it? Oh, I felt really depressed, but I got over it.
Yeah.
It's just, it was great.
Yeah, yeah, it was very funny. That was very, very funny. All right, hey, thanks, Brian.
No problem.
All right, take care, man. Love it as Dukakis, hysterical. Now another bit, because that, like that, you know, they took a political character and they took him out of the world, you know, of serious politics and did some crazy stuff with him. And SNL has been known to do that. One of the times they did it was in 1977. When they had a bit called Ask President Carter. It was a CBS radio series called Ask President Carter. Walter Cronkite was the host, and it was and the bit was who's doing Cronkite? Bill Murray. Bill Murray had to be doing Cronkite. So Bill Murray was doing Cronkite, and Dan Aykroyd was doing Carter, despite the fact that he had a mustache, which is always kind of interesting, because he would do Nixon, because Aykroyd was such a great mimic, and had such a phenomenal ear and could really do impressions very, very well, that despite the fact that physically they didn't even attempt to make him, you know, they grayed his hair a little bit, but he had a mustache when he did Carter. He had a mustache when he did Nixon. But anyway, here's this really hilarious sketch that they did in 1977, and it's Bill Murray as Walter Cronkite and Ask President Carter. So it's a radio show where they're taking calls from people who want to ask Jimmy Carter some questions. Dan Aykroyd on SNL.
And now, live from the White House, Ask President Carter.
Good evening and welcome to number 10 in the CBS radio series Ask President Carter, a continuing experiment in presidential communication with the American people. Mr. President, our first call this week comes from Mrs. Edward Hobrandt, or maybe it's Hobrandt.
That's Horbath.
Mrs. Edward Horbath, excuse me, of Maple Trace, Kansas.
Hello, Mrs. Horbath.
Hello, Mr. President. How are you today?
Very fine. Could you turn your radio down, please?
Oh, yes.
Mrs. Horbath, do you have a question for the president?
Yes, sir. I'm an employee of the U.S. Postal Service in Kansas. Mm-hmm. Last year, they installed an automated letter sorting system called the Marvex 3000 here in our branch.
Yes.
But the system doesn't work too good. Letters keep getting clogged in the first level sorting grid. Is there anything that can be done about this?
Well, Mrs. Horbath, Vice President Mondale and myself were just talking about the Marvex 3000 this morning, as a matter of fact. I do have a suggestion. You know the caliper post on the first grid sliding armature?
Yes.
Okay, there's a three-digit setting there where the post and the armature meet. Now, when the system was installed, the angle of cross-slide was put at a maximum setting of 1. If you reset it at the 3 mark, like it says in the assembly instructions, I think you'll solve any clogging problems in the machine.
Oh, thanks, Mr. President. By the way, I think you're doing a great job.
Looks like you've been doing your homework, Mr. President. I'd like to take this opportunity to say that none of these calls are screened, that the people of America are talking directly with the president. Our next call comes from a man who calls himself Dr. Midnight.
Hello, Dr. Midnight.
Is Rosalind there? I really like her.
All right, sir. Thank you very much for calling.
Thank you for calling. Midnight, you stupid mother...
Nice one, Mr. President. Our next call is Peter Elton of Westbrook, Oregon, who I am told is 17 years of age.
Hello? Hello?
Yeah. Hello, hello, Peter.
Is this the president?
Yes, it is.
Do you have a question for the president?
I took some acid. I'm afraid to leave my apartment, and I can't wear any clothes. And the ceiling is dripping, and,
Well, thank you very much for calling, sir. Please.
No, just a minute, Walter. This guy's in trouble. I think I better try to talk him down. Peter?
Yeah.
Peter, what did the acid look like?
They were these little orange pills.
Were they barrel-shaped?
Yes.
Okay, right. You did some Orange Sunshine, Peter.
Very good of you to know that, Peter.
How long ago did you take it, Peter?
I don't know. I can't read my watch.
All right, Peter, now just listen. Everything's going to be fine. You're very high right now. You'll probably be that way for about 5 more hours. Try taking some vitamin B complex, vitamin C complex. If you have a beer, go ahead and drink it.
Okay.
Just remember, you're a living organism on this planet, and you're very safe. You've just taken a heavy drug. Now, just relax, stay inside, and listen to some music, okay?
Yeah.
Do you have any Allman Brothers?
Yeah, I do, sir. Everything's okay, huh, Jimmy?
It sure is, Peter. You know, I'm against drug use myself, but I'm not going to lay that on you right now. Just mellow out the best you can, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
Well done.
That's so funny. So funny. Do you have any Allman Brothers? Oh, man. All right. 708 area code. We're talking about the best political stuff that's been on SNL in honor of last night's debate, which is obviously going to influence what we see on Saturday night's debut of SNL. 708 area code says, when Roseanne hosted, she and Phil Hartman played Abe and Mary Lincoln, and they just screamed at each other. It was very funny. I don't remember that, but I would imagine it would be very funny. I mean, if Phil Hartman is involved, it's automatically funny. 312, Dana Carvey not going to do it, wouldn't be prudent, as Bush was the best. 708 area code, I love the guy who played Nancy Reagan all the time, Terry Sweeney. Terry Sweeney from the dark period of SNL. And that's pretty much, you know, that guy, he was a pretty limited performer. He was a great drag performer. Terry Sweeney, and he did a one man show as Nancy Reagan, and he pretty much did, he played Nancy, and for the listener who texted in, I love the guy who played Nancy Reagan all the time. Yeah, that's all he did. we have audio from this. We'll get to it in a little bit. But the 708 area code says, "What about Janet Reno's dance party?" We have audio from that, right? We'll do that after the break. Janet Reno's dance party, Esmeralda. Come on.
Oh, it was the best, and then she showed up.
Yeah, when Janet Reno really showed up, it was fantastic. But I love, like, Will Ferrell as Janet Reno busting through walls and stuff. I mean, just the idea. I don't know who. I think Smigel had something to do with that sketch, if I'm not mistaken. Smigel might have, and McKay, and obviously Adam McKay, because Adam McKay was Ferrell's writing partner. But, like, the idea, I don't know, it had to be McKay's idea. Like, yeah, here's what we'll do. We'll take Janet Reno and she can host a teen dance party. It's ridiculous. All right, we got to take a break here. We got the news coming up and then more political stuff from SNL. SNL debuts this Saturday, and they're going to have a lot to brew over after last night's debate. We'll take a break here. News is next. Yeah. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trip Tower. Two for Tuesday. Yeah, two for Tuesday. And Patrick requested Al Di Meola. That's Sequencer. That sounded so much like something that would be used in Miami Vice. Didn't it, Dan? Sound like something that you could...
Very Miami.
Yeah, very Miami Vicey. All right, Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and Steve Grzanich is up at 5 o'clock with the opening bell, and then Steve Cochran at 6. The debate was last night, and I watched it, and we are talking about how it is clearly going to influence how they open Saturday Night Live's new season, because they were given a lot of material from last night, so. That, I believe, is going to be the cold open, and that got me to thinking about some of the best and most memorable political sketches and political impressions and political moments in SNL's history. And we'd love to hear from you, 312-981-7200 for talk and text. 773 area code says, the ex-president cartoon on SNL was awesome. Yes, it was.
Oh, yeah.
That's the great Robert Smigel. Robert Smigel, one of the best comic minds alive. For those people who don't know, Robert Smigel was a sometime performer, writer on SNL. He's appeared in some movies, and he is the best known. He's Triumph, the insult
yes,
comic dog.
Yes,
and
yes.
Robert Smigel is brilliant, absolutely brilliant. When he was writing for SNL, he wrote some of the most memorable stuff. And so all of the Saturday TV Funhouse stuff – the animated stuff that he did, that's all Smigel, and it's all brilliant. And the ex-presidents were always hysterical. Always hysterical. So have you watched any of Triumph on the Campaign Trail?
I haven't. Oh, I haven't seen any of that yet.
It's so, so brilliant and so funny. Yeah, it's on Hulu. If you can watch it on Hulu, he did a bunch of them too, and it's like Triumph getting into people's faces but it's Triumph. So, I remember when he was writing for Conan and they debuted Triumph. I remember the first time I saw it, I couldn't believe how funny it was. He also was Smigel. It was Smigel's idea. Do you remember? Did you watch Conan when he was on NBC?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, do you remember when they would have the big TV screen fly down from the ceiling?
Mm-hmm.
And it would be like, it was usually Clinton, yeah, you know, and
oh, yeah,
it was like the Clutch Cargo kind of thing where the lips, that was Smigel.
Okay.
That's Smigel. And that was like the first time he ever really made his mark on Conan, because those were his idea, to fly down the screen and then have the talking lips in the picture. It was Clinton a lot of times, but he did other people too.
Yeah.
I remember he did Schwarzenegger and he did. Yeah. So he's funny, man. Yeah. Ex-presidents. Very funny stuff. And the Ambiguously Gay Duo.
Yes.
Come on. When they did the live action version with Jon Hamm and Jimmy Fallon, Steve Colbert, and Steve Carell.
Right.
Oh God, it was so funny. It was so funny. Hold on a second. Patrick checked back in. He says, it's funny you mentioned that Al Di Meola's sequencer sounded like Miami Vice. Jan Hammer played the synthesizer on the album. Well, see? My ears do not deceive anything 80s.
You know that Jan Hammer.
I know my Jan Hammer.
Hopefully there will be a pop-up video question about Jan Hammer.
Yeah, we'll get some pop-up video questions about Jan Hammer. Okay.
Real quick, did you tell Esmeralda about what she watched before the show tonight?
I messaged her.
Oh, the At Midnight. Yes.
Yeah, I didn't tell her any. I didn't give her any details or anything. You, Esmeralda, you've got to see it.
I saw the little trailer thing.
You have. I'm telling you, you're going to lose your mind when you see it. It's so funny. When you watch it. Text me, okay? Let me know what you think. Because I thought of you like 3 minutes into it. I'm like, Esmeralda is going to die when she sees this. Last night on At Midnight, which was one of the best episodes of At Midnight ever. And I love that show. But it was so inspired and so funny. And it came out of nowhere. I had no idea they were going to do it. They did an episode that was quote-unquote a flashback episode to 1998. So everything on the stage is very 1998-ish. I don't want to give anything away, You specifically have to see it. I'm telling you. Okay. I thought of you right at the beginning when I was watching it, and then certain things happened on the show, and they did certain bits, and I'm like, her head's going to explode when she sees this.
Oh, boy.
It's so funny. So let me know when you watch it.
Will do.
All right. So what was the audio we were going to play, Dan?
Janet Reno.
Oh, Janet Reno Dance Party. Now, which episode is this? Is this the one with?
Yeah, unfortunately, the one that she meets the actual Janet Reno is not available.
Okay.
So this is when Kevin Spacey portraying Health and Human Services Secretary Donna Shalali shows up.
This is hilarious. Okay, so we're doing great political moments from SNL because of last night's debate is going to, I hopefully, provide some great moments for Saturday. But this is Janet Reno's dance party. Will Ferrell from SNL.
Woo! Okay, now. It's time for our spotlight dance with my very special guest. Please welcome Secretary of Health and Human Services, Donna Shalala. Donna? Donna, thanks for coming to the dance party.
My pleasure, Janet.
Now, before we begin, you look lovely tonight. Why don't you tell the viewers what you're wearing?
Well, Janet, I'm wearing a dark blue blazer with matching skirt, pearls, and brown shoes.
You look like a pretty little China doll. I just want to put you up on my shelf and dust you and look at you. But promise me one thing. Promise me you won't let them break you.
I promise, Janet.
Okay, great, Donna. Tell me what song you've selected for our spotlight dance.
I've selected Songbird by Kenny G.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful, Donna, but there's no chance in hell we're going to hear it. Play my song!
It's So there you go. That's. Oh, I thought it was done. So you get to see her dance around.
Yeah.
Or him.
That was really special. Thank you, Bucky, for holding the light, and thank you, Donna, for the wonderful dance.
Well, thank you, Janet. I had a wonderful time.
Donna Shalala, everyone.
Okay. So that's the great Will Ferrell as Janet Reno. Dan, can you grab the Obama versus Romney town hall debate from 2012? This was hilarious. It was Jason Sudeikis was Mitt Romney, and he was great as Mitt Romney. Mm. He was very, very funny as Mitt Romney. And Taron Killen played all his sons, but he'd just come out and say he was a different one.
Right.
He was never on stage at the same time.
I don't think I've seen this one.
Oh, it's so funny. But this one is Jay Farrow. When Jay Farrow took over
as
Barack Obama from Fred Armisen. Fred Armisen was fine as Barack Obama. He was fine. But Jay Farrow, who I can't believe he's not on the show anymore. It's just ridiculous. He and Taron Killen are both gone from the show. God, yeah. It's just ridiculous.
Well, I mean, Jay Farrow was great because he did the impressions.
Yeah.
But I would say other than the impressions, it'd be like,
He did that character. I will defend, because you're right. His specialty was impressions.
Yeah, they always had him doing the impressions.
And he did them great. I mean, first of all, he does the best Denzel Washington in the ever. But the character that he did as the school principal, where he's like, attention teachers and students. Do you remember he was the high school principal, and he would come out and interrupt and do, he would make announcements. He'd have the mic, and he'd breathe in and be like, attention teachers and students. You don't remember that character?
Were they playing the music? Were the teachers playing, or it was that band that would come out?
No, you're thinking of Will Ferrell and Anna Gasteyer when they would do the school like concert things.
Yeah,
That was Will Ferrell and Anna Gasteyer.
Okay,
it was but he would come out. I can't remember what the name of the high school was, but anyway, he was great. That character was really great, really great. But he didn't have a lot of memorable characters outside of the Imitations. All right, let's hear a little bit of this.
Question is from Teresa Cuccinelli, and it is for Governor Romney.
Governor Romney, you promised to eliminate some tax deductions. The mortgage deduction, the charitable deduction, the child tax credit, and the, oh my God, what's the other one? This is so embarrassing.
You're doing great.
I can't. Okay. And pizza bagels. That's a grocery list.
Still doing great.
Islip Avenue to Southern State Parkway West. No, those are directions.
Doing a little less great.
Here it is. It's education. So please answer that.
Denise, my economic plan is a simple one. It's a 5-point plan that we can all get behind, okay?
You know, Governor Romney keeps mentioning this 5-point plan, but where is it? What are these 5 points?
Oh, you want to see them? Okay, here you go. This is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, right here. Bam, that's my plan.
Well, I got a 1-point plan for you. Want to see it? Here it is.
President Obama, put your finger down, okay?
And the best thing about my plan is you can sit on it and spin.
Mr. President, please. Governor Romney, you too, you're setting a terrible example for this audience, and these people are very impressionable. They are from Long Island.
Okay.
He started, Candy. Right, come on. He started.
Very well. Very well. Let's see here. Our next question comes from Dominic Fonte, and it's also for Governor Romney.
Governor Romney, a few minutes ago you said you would like to kick President Obama's ace.
Okay. Oh, boy. Here we go.
Okay. Well, how about if I kicked your ace instead? How would that be, huh?
Okay.
Oh, you're welcome to try, Tommy.
Okay, welcome to Try, Tubby. That is Bobby Moynihan, who I think is one of the most underrated cast members on SNL. He's funny. And then that moderator, the great Michaela Watkins, who, am I right on that?
I thought it was Leslie Bryan.
Michaela Watkins, I'm thinking. It sounded like Michaela Watkins, who another one of these great female cast members that SNL got rid of.
Oh.
Like, Michaela Watkins is a genius. Jenny Slate is awesome. She's gone. Noelle Wells from Masters of None.
Oh, okay.
She was on SNL. Gone.
It was A.D. Bryant portraying Candy Crowley.
That was A.D. Bryant?
Yes.
Ugh. No, Michaela Watkins wasn't on. Oh, no, no, of course it couldn't have been Michaela Watkins. Michaela Watkins wasn't on in 2012. She would have been, if she was on during a political year, it would have been 08 before she got canned. So, yeah, okay, A.D. Bryant. Oh, God, I just don't find her amusing. All right, we got more political SNL stuff to talk about here, and I'm excited about. I think Margot Robbie will be good.
I think so. I haven't. She done anything?
You saw Suicide Squad? Like,
yeah, but that was, she's supposed to be a lunatic.
Did you see the Wolf of Wall Street?
Yeah, but again, I mean, I guess it was
Big Short. Being funny. She's in the Big Short for like
that. I haven't seen.
She's in that. She's, well, she just plays herself, and she's in it for about 3 minutes. But the bit's funny.
But I guess she has a good sense of humor.
I think she's going to be. I have a good feeling. I think she's going to be funny.
Yeah.
And The Weeknd is going to have a different hairdo.
That's right.
Yeah. I mean, well, he cut his hair like he cut the E out of the word weekend. the 30, I should say. There are three E's in the word weekend. So the 30 is the one he cut out. All right. Well, I should just read the weather. All right, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. How are you? Tuesday morning. We're live on the seventh floor of the Trib Tower, and we're here till 5. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5 coming up in just a few minutes. And that, of course, was the theme from one of the seasons of Saturday Night Live. Saturday Night Live debuts this Saturday night. Margot Robbie is the host. The Weeknd is the musical guest. And last night was the debate, the first presidential debate between Clinton and Trump. And I watched it, and there's a lot of fuel for the writers of Saturday Night Live. And I would imagine that their cold open is going to be a satire or a parody of what we saw last night at the debate. And we were talking about some of the great political stuff from the past on SNL. And we were talking a little off the air. We were talking about Bobby Moynihan as Newt Gingrich during the primaries this past year. Absolutely hilarious. And then that got me thinking about when Newt Gingrich, when Chris Farley played him, when Farley was on, Chris Farley played Newt Gingrich. He actually met Newt Gingrich and did it for him.
Carvey,
Dana Carvey ended up like becoming friends with George H.W.
Yes.
And he appeared and do you remember the episode where George Bush did the cold open, and he says, "Not gonna do it. I don't say that." And he does. And he did the whole thing. But then he did say, "Wouldn't be prudent." He did the whole thing. And that's another angle that you can think about when you're talking about the political stuff on SNL is when the actual politicians show up.
Sure. I mean, I thought it was great when they had on Bernie. Hillary.
And Larry David played and Bernie. Yeah.
I mean, then they had Trump, but it was funny to see him dancing in the Hotline Bling parody.
And Hillary was on as a bartender.
Yeah.
Who served Kate McKinnon as Hillary.
That one I did enjoy.
Yeah, it's very funny. Very, very funny. But a lot of those, surprise appearances. Obama showed up in 08 at a Halloween party that Hillary was throwing. He took off an Obama mask and he was underneath it.
Yeah, she's come in more than once, right? Like when
a bunch of times.
Amy Poehler was in.
That's so good when she shows
that nervous laugh.
Yeah, she did. I would like my earrings back is one thing she says. we were talking about Obama and Clinton, and during the primaries, obviously in 2008 they did debate, and we have a debate. It's Fred Armisen as Obama back in those days. He played him. And then Amy Poehler as Hillary Clinton. And Tim Russert was fielding the questions, played, of course, by Daryl Hammond, who plays everything and will continue to play Trump for the time being, I would imagine. We'll see him on Saturday. So let's hear a little bit of this from the 2008 election, Obama versus Clinton.
You pledged that in the general election, you would run your campaign with public financing. You agreed
not to raise money from private donors in return for $85 million in taxpayer money. But recently you said you might abandon your pledge and instead return that money to the American people.
Look, Tim, let me point out, as of right now, no decision has been made.
Senator, let me make sure I understand this. You're saying that after promising the American people you would take nearly $100 million of their hard-earned tax money, you're now going to give it back to them to use as they see fit. And you think they'll still vote for you?
I hope so, Tim. And that's all I can do.
Senator, that's the only question I had for you. And if I seemed a bit nosy there or made you feel uncomfortable, I sincerely apologize. It's not my intention.
Well, that's all right, Tim. You were just doing your job.
I'm sorry. Is that really the toughest question you could think of to ask him? Because, frankly, there are several issues where he's more vulnerable.
Excuse me. We'll ask the questions here, sister.
All right. Senator Clinton, here in the state of Ohio, the North American Free Trade Agreement, or NAFTA, is deeply unpopular. Senator Obama has run ads criticizing your support of it. You've charged these ads are unfair, but aren't they, in fact, accurate? Didn't you indeed support NAFTA?
Tim, what I said...
August 19th, 2002. A stop in Syracuse, New York. Quote, on balance, NAFTA has been good for this country.
But, Tim, I went on to...
In the banquet room, Syracuse, Marriott Inn. Quote, NAFTA has been good for this country. Your word, Senator.
But I also...
Here you are at the luncheon.
Sure, okay.
There. In the parking lot. That's your car.
Yes, yes.
This glass found at the podium. Your lipstick. Your saliva. Your DNA, Senator.
I'm not sure what you want from me. I said I was there.
What do we have to do?
Vincent D'Onofrio just popped in.
This is not a joke. Look at my face. Look at my face. Do I look like I'm laughing?
Vince, it's okay. We got this.
Vince, it's okay. Yeah. Hold on. Just take a walk.
All right, so that's very funny. Very funny stuff. NAFTA came up last night, by the way.
Yeah.
It's so weird to hear that's from 2008, and it was brought up several times last night. Oh, wow. Oh, man, very strange. All right. So that year, the 2008 season for SNL was really strong. And then, you know, that was obviously during the, you know, Democratic primaries.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then, and they were doing really strong work there. But then once after the, you know, after the Republican convention, when they revealed Sarah Palin, SNL just, boom, they were like, they called Tina Fey and they were like, you got to come back on the show.
Yeah.
And then it all took off from there. So it'll be interesting to see what they do this Saturday, but if they don't take advantage of you know last night's debate, if they don't do a you know do the I mean they should open the show with it.
I mean, I think they will. It's just that are they going to do it well?
Yeah, I mean, I would hope so. I mean, they hired a bunch of they hired like three or four new writers.
Yeah,
they got three new cast members, two of which are really brilliant. Of course, they won't be involved in that sketch. Because they're new cast members, they'll be in backstage.
Right.
So let's find out what's happening on the opening bell with Steve Grzanich. Hey, Steve.
Hey, good morning. You know, I'm going to date myself, but I have to go back to the first Clinton election way back when and the Saturday Night Live team then. Some of the stuff they did, especially when they did the audience participation.
Mm-hmm.
Where's my stuff?
Yeah. Yeah. We played a bit from that where Clinton goes to the to the McDonald's and starts eating everybody's food. That was from the 92. Yeah. That was from the 92.
I don't think anything can top that. I don't think the more recent stuff you did tops that. That's still my favorite. But
yeah, if Will Phil Hartman was a special guy,
yeah,
man.
Yeah,
he was
definitely. Well, coming up in the opening bell, we're going to tear this apart in two ways. We're going to talk to a real debate expert to give us a sort of unbiased opinion of who he thought won last night or who lost or what the moderator did, and also how the markets are reacting worldwide to what they saw last night. Have they picked a new president who they want to be president? All coming up next on The Opening Bell.
All right. Thank you, Steve.
Have a great day.
You too. Esmeralda, I'll see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
Wild Card Wednesday.
Oh, boy. That one's always fun.
Yeah. Well, we'll figure it out. All right. I'll see you tomorrow.
See ya.
Take a quick break. News is next.